Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Hello, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Sheila English. Now, over the past couple of weeks, I've had several personal friends of mine leave the comfort of their homes to do missionary work in Haiti. I followed them on Facebook and in church news. I saw pictures, and I was so encouraged and inspired by everything that was happening. That really just makes this show more exciting for me because this show will be talking about the stories of missionaries. We have two amazing guests with us tonight, authors Lisa Harris and Bo Caldwell, who are going to share their stories, their books, and their feelings about missionary work with us. First, though, please allow me to introduce my co-host and dear friend, Anita Higman. Welcome, Anita.
Hi, Sheila. Glad to be here. You know, this show was all your idea, and it's a really good one, so I'm excited about this evening.
Well, you know, I've always been so intrigued by missionary work. I really have this. I think that the people who do that, you know, it's part adventure and part, you know, just that dedication. And there's just so many aspects to it that I've always wondered about. And so this show is I think, going to be very exciting for everybody. And of course, it's great to have you here with us. Now, quickly for our listeners, you can chat live. We have our live chat session that's up at blogtalkradio.com/circleofseven. We have a, you can also call in to the show. Please feel free to call in at 646-200-4071. Now, Anita, have you ever done any missionary work or followed missionary work of anybody?
You know, I've never been a missionary, but I have indeed followed some of their work, especially a couple that was in Germany for about 10 years, and they were trying to get some Christian radio, a station in Germany, and they did accomplish that actually through the Internet, and so because of them, there's some wonderful Christian programming in Germany as well as some other European countries, and so that was very exciting news to follow them.
We have these friends of mine. They went with First Church of God out of Mount Sterling. They went with a lot of other people from First Church of God in our state, and went out to Haiti. And it was really fantastic for me, I think, because I knew these people. You know, I see them all the time. It was just very interesting to see somebody. It's like I always think of missionaries as, you know, they're a certain kind of person who wants that adventure, who has that burning desire to go and make a difference in another country. And it was so interesting, really brought home the importance of missionary work to me, to see those people making a difference, just like I could have. You know, I can make a difference. Anybody can make a difference. And I thought, you know, you still have to be a special person to do that, I think, just like you have to be a special person to be a teacher, to be a nurse, you know, in other professions like that. But it was just amazing to see these regular people going out there and really making a difference for the Lord. It was very inspiring. Now, I know you've brought someone very special to the show, Lisa Harris. Why don't you introduce Lisa and let's get started?
All right. Lisa Harris is an award-winning author who has over 20 novels and novella collections in print. She and her husband, Scott, along with her three children, live near the Indian Ocean in Mozambique as missionaries. Life is busy between ministry and homeschooling, but she sees her writing as an extension of her ministry. And so when she's not working, she loves hanging out with her family, cooking different ethnic dishes, and heading into the African bush on safari. Wow, how many people can say that? I love that.
I know.
Anyway, for more information, visit her website at lisaharriswrites.com or her blog at myblogintheheartofafrica.blogspot.com. Okay, I have a lot of questions for you, Lisa, so get ready. But most people,
okay, I'm ready.
Are you ready? Okay. Most people think of missionary work as very hard, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So, I mean, do you agree with that? What do you think?
No, I definitely would have to agree. You know, it's funny, we're home on furlough right now, and people think we're all on holiday. Even furlough, I've decided, is hard work, but it is hard. It's physically draining because you're in a different place and you have to figure things out, and it's spiritually draining. So, yes, I definitely think so.
Well, what not everybody wants to be a missionary or is called to be a missionary. I mean, what made you want to do this?
Well, it's not all, it is hard, but it's not all negative. And I think at the beginning, I think I wanted to save the world. I was going to go out there and I was going to go across the sea and save the world. And after many, many years in ministry, I've realized that I can't do that. But, I can make the difference in an individual's life one at a time. And that, so my initial motivation has kind of changed a lot throughout the years. But it's definitely kept me there and kept me motivated and kept me going.
That's an interesting answer. I like that. Well, there's a lot of places in the world to spread the gospel, as you well know. Why did you choose Africa?
Well, I'd always wanted to go to Africa. I'm not sure exactly why. Kenya, that was my first real trip out of the country, and I was just captivated. They say that Africa gets in your heart and in your blood, and you can't, shake it off. And it's just become a part of me, and I love the people there. It's a beautiful place. We've been all over Africa. I mean, it's a huge continent. But, the first time I went there, I knew that this is where God wanted me to be.
Most people don't really know what missionaries do all day long, so what does a typical day look like for you?
Probably the most typical day. There is no typical day. right now I homeschool my children, and so I guess for me that puts a little more structure into it. I have three children, and we homeschool them, and so that takes a lot of my time. Other typical aspects, there's no fast food. I have to cook everything from scratch, so I spend a lot of time cooking and preparing. And it seems like every other day something comes up, like the power goes off or you have to fix the washing machine or, I just always say life is an adventure. It's never dull. It's really never dull.
Well, do you feel God's presence in your everyday life? Well, obviously you do. You're a Christian, but, sometimes I think it's hard when you're a missionary. You probably just want to... You maybe feel overwhelmed at times with the needs of all the people, and you just want to run back home again. Can you describe that whole experience for me?
It is hard because we see a lot of struggles in our work. We see poverty. We see children suffering from malnutrition. We see the corruption in the government that causes negative effects on the people. And some days I just think, I've had enough of this. I don't want to see it anymore because it breaks your heart. And then there's the other days when you can give vitamins to a family whose children are malnourished, and you see their, that was something small, but we made a difference. You see their changes spiritually, that actually changes their family relationships. You know how when Christ comes in, he can heal things, heal their wounds, their emotional wounds. And so when I start seeing changes like that, I think it, again, it kind of gives me the motivation to stay. But it is overwhelming because there are so many needs, and like I said earlier, you can't save everybody. And I've had to really kind of refocus and say, okay, when I get overwhelmed, I'm just gonna, let's see what we can do with this person, or another person, and just one person at a time.
Very good, Lisa. Thank you. That was an excellent answer. So I'm sure people would want to know, what are your goals there? Do you actually have a list that you kind of work on every day, or?
I do, and I don't always. Well, I probably rarely cross them all off, but and my main goal really is my children. I want to make sure that they get a good education, that they're taken care of. I don't ever want to neglect them because I'm out, running around doing other things. Another goal would be just to assist my husband, kind of be his support. He goes out and is involved in church planting and discipleship, and while I'm not out with him as much as I'd like to be, I can still be a support for him. We also have just started a nonprofit that does help with a lot of these needs. We do microloans. We're doing healthcare things. And so that would be another thing that I work on in all my free time, too. And so, those are some of the things that I kind of work on a daily basis when I'm there.
Sounds like an awful lot. Wow. I'm sure you have a lot of stories of miracles and conversions, too. And so... I'd love to hear many of them, but we probably only have time for one. Is there a favorite story of a miracle or conversion that really blessed you and others to hear it?
Well, the one that really sticks out in my mind is I wasn't there, but my husband went out to a village several hours from where we live, and there was a young man in his mid-20s, and he was his family had chained him to his room because he was unruly and he would run around and he would scare people. And it was just like out of the book of Acts where they, you know, would have to chain up that man because he was demon-possessed. And I know as Americans we don't think of those things happening necessarily today. And even for us it was a bit of a stretch. But the family asked that they would, that my husband and the disciples would come and pray with him. And they did. And through his conversion, he was released and Jesus has freed him. And the people in the village see that and they're amazed. And just to see the book of Acts coming to life has just really been incredible for us and has deepened our faith and the faith of others who have seen it as well.
Wow, that's the first time I've started to cry on Blog Talk Radio on the show. Wow, that is very moving. Thanks for sharing that, Lisa. That was really nice. Very powerful story. Well, I want to say, too, well, I know that the listeners, now that they've heard all this, they would really like to help out, and so I want to allow them to what can they do, you know? Where can they send money or things that you need? What's the best way for listeners to help you?
Well, we have a brand new website called theechoproject.org, and ECHO stands for education, compassion, health, and opportunity, and those are the areas that we are helping with the physical needs of the people that we minister spiritually to. And you can go to that website and find out more about what you can do. That'll include, we also have some orphan work that we're doing. There's several different needs. You can, there's even the PayPal online. And our ministry is www.africanoutreachministries.org. And again, that will tell more of our ministry, what we're involved in, both in Mozambique where we live and throughout southern Africa.
Thank you. That's very important. I'm sure they appreciate hearing that. And I'm sure people will be very generous. You're also an author, and I don't want to forget this part of it. This is an important part, too. So I have to know, does being a missionary make you a better writer?
Well, I don't know if it makes me a better writer, but it's definitely broadened my experiences. I'm able to see all different kinds of people from all different kinds of life. And I think I've been able to experience things that, you know, probably your average American doesn't experience, good things and bad things. So I think just the broadening of my experience, it makes me definitely look at life differently.
Mm-hmm.
And has given me, you know, really a passion for me to share some of those things. My last book was about human trafficking, and the one that's coming out just now is about refugee camps. And so, you know, for me to be able to kind of share in a fiction novel, but some of the things that are realities in other parts of the world, is something that, from seeing these things, from my experiences, has really made me passionate in sharing those things with other people and kind of broadening other people's worldviews.
Uh-huh. Well, actually, you answered some of my next question. It was, how does your life in Africa affect your novels? And it sounds like it really does. So.
Well, I am excited because, yeah, the last novel and the one coming out are both set in Africa. And so, so obviously, I've been able to pour a lot of my experiences, not actually experiences that I've experienced, because they're suspense novels and I don't want to ever experience some of the things that happened. But to be able just to share the culture and the people and, you know, some of the things that I've seen has been really exciting for me.
Well, did you want to say anything more about your latest book? Any more details? Or?
Well, I do have Blood Covenant coming out from Zondervan next month, and I'm really excited about it. It's a suspense, like I said, set in Africa about refugee camps, and I'm excited about it. I think people, if you like suspense with a little bit of romance, you'll love it.
Oh, I'm sure I will, and so thank you for sharing that. Well, don't go away. We're going to come right back to you, Lisa, and so in just a moment, but I'm going to turn the mic over to Sheila so that she can tell us about our other wonderful guest.
And I really loved hearing the boy that was chained up. It's like, yeah, that does kind of get to you when you hear that and know that, you know, this really happened and that you're there making a difference. And, you know, I'm kind of there with you, Anita, just getting a little choked up. I do want to say that we will put the blog will go up on infaithnetwork.com, and what we'll do is I'll have Anita get back together with you, Lisa. I want to make sure that we get the information on how people can help you with your ministry and where they can go to find out more information. So we will make that available on the blog tomorrow. So thank you for that. And thank you, Anita. I just want to say I'm very interested to hear from our next guest. Beau Caldwell is the author of the national bestseller, The Distant Land of My Father. Now, we're about to transition from Africa to China here. Now, her short fiction has been published in Plowshares, Story, Epic, and other literary journals. A former Stegner Fellow in Creative Writing at Stanford University. She lives in Northern California with her husband, novelist Ron Hansen. Welcome, Beau.
Thank you, Sheila. It's wonderful to be here.
Now, I'm also a native Northern California person and was just there a few days ago. I'd love to exchange the snow that I got today and wake up with some California sunshine. It wasn't really a good exchange, I think, the snow for the sunshine. But I love Northern California. I actually grew up in Mendocino County. I don't know if you know where that's at.
Oh, sure. It's
Redwood.
Beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yes, yes. I love California. Now, well, I want to talk to you about your newest book, City of Tranquil Light. Now, your last book was also set in China. Why China?
Well, both novels are based on family history. My maternal grandparents were missionaries in China. They went over in 1906 as Mennonites, and they were about 21 years old, and they met on the way over and fell in love and were married in China a couple of years later. So my mom and her four older siblings all grew up in China. And so the first novel, The Distant Land of My Father, is based on the life of my uncle, who lived much of his life in Shanghai, the oldest of those children. And then he was imprisoned by the Japanese and later by the communists and was a millionaire in Shanghai and just lived an amazing life. And then the newest book, City of Tranquil Light, is based, I went kind of back, and it's based on the lives of my grandparents in northern China in 1906.
So is that a little bit more of a romance then? Does it include that?
It's about, the new book is about marriage and faith, I think, and China. There's a lot of China's history in there. That's the backdrop. My characters spend decades in China just as my grandparents did. So, yes, it's certainly about their marriage and about their faith and about the challenges that they faced.
So this book is, well, and even the one previous, these books are pretty personal for you, would you say?
Yes.
And how much of the story did you get directly from the real-life experiences of your family members?
It's kind of, I guess I think of it as the kind of heart and soul of the book came from my grandparents. And as a novelist, I have found that I really need to make a real conscious effort to let myself break away from, quote-unquote, what really happened and what the truth is when I'm writing fiction. I need to let my fictional characters breathe and have their own lives, and I can't be too tied too closely to what really happened. So my grandparents are kind of the heart and soul of the novel in that the characters are very much based on them as far as their personalities and their character traits. There were some things that my grandfather said in a memoir that he wrote for our family that really touched me and that kind of gave me some insights into their marriage and into his love for my grandmother, and that I certainly wanted that in the novel, and then some of their experiences. So then I kind of took off and went my own way and brought in experiences from other missionaries. I read lots of biographies and autobiographies, and so I let the events take the turn that I wanted to for fiction, but the heart and the soul of the novel came from my grandparents.
So it sounds like you really did a whole lot of research for this. You know, you have that personal connection that you're not going to get that just anywhere. I mean, you have that because you have these memoirs from your grandparents, and you were able to actually get some firsthand, you know, stories of that time period. But it sounds like then you went on and did some additional research to add to that. So this must be a very, very full retelling of that time period in China.
I hope so. It felt full to me. It's an amazing time in China's history. As I said, they go over in 1906, and they live in China until about 1934, and it was a very tumultuous and dramatic time in China's history. I mean, actually, most of the 20th century was for China. It was just kind of one change after another. So I did learn a lot about the history, and then I had to learn also about what it was like to live there. you know, with that history as backdrop, what the dangers were and the challenges and the threats and all those kinds of things. So yeah, it was a lot of research and kind of reading, rereading, thinking about it until it kind of sank into me a little bit.
Now, but this is a work of fiction. This is your own story that you've created.
Yes.
So tell us about this story.
This story, as I said, is about faith. And one of the things that happened, I think of books as children, sort of. And
uh-huh.
Each one is different, and each one has a different place in my heart. So this one, I started this book in 2002 after my first book was published, and I wrote about 80 pages, and then I got sick. I was diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer in the fall of 2004. So I put the book aside because even though I had a very good prognosis and I'm healthy today and cancer-free, it was still recommended that I have chemo and radiation. And it was a couple years before I could get back to the book, and when I did, I realized that I had started out writing about my grandfather's faith, and I realized that I was keeping him and his faith at arm's length and almost more like a biographer, even though I was doing what I wanted to with the facts. But my own faith had changed in the writing of the book, and so when I came back to it, I didn't want to hide behind him. I wanted to let my characters express my own feelings about God and my own faith. So it's a lot about faith, and a lot, even though I haven't faced the same challenges that my characters do, I've faced fear and, you know, different kinds of threats, and I think the novel was me working some of that out, again, in a historical time and place of China, northern China in 1906 to 1934.
So you've just kind of been on this personal journey yourself as you've created the story, it sounds like.
Yeah, very much. I let go of the book a lot. I learned a lot about surrender through that illness. And I had had a relationship with God and everything, but during the illness, I was able to surrender much more than I ever had before. And as a friend of mine told me to, she said, you know, God's got your back, and fall back into God's arms. And so I let go of the book, and I had a much more kind of cramped story in mind when I began, and everything really opened up when I came back to it, and I allowed myself to kind of be guided much more than I had been before. I was kind of less headstrong about it, I think, when I came back to it.
Now, I was looking at some of the quotes and praise that the book is receiving, and I wanted to share this one from American Magazine. It says, and this is talking about the book, "It is inspired, a beautifully written, often riveting, heartbreaking, heart-healing, wise and sweet-tempered novel." Now, does that sum up some of what we'll find when we read City of Tranquil Light?
I hope so. I like that quote. Let's see. It is sad, there are sad parts, but I think ultimately it's a story of hope. One of the things that I faced in the writing of it, along with the parts of faith that I was talking about, and I read recently another writer say that he wants to, quote-unquote, say the unsayable. And I asked myself what that means for me. And one of the things that it means, and that I learned in the writing of the novel, was that if you're fortunate enough to be married and be in love and married and in a wonderful marriage for a long time, one of you is going to lose the other. Just the stark fact. And my husband's had a couple of serious illnesses as well, and he's healthy today. But I watched my mom lose my dad after 56 years of marriage, and I've watched friends go through it and all that. And so one of my characters goes through that, and it helped me to kind of live through it with him. And so I guess it is heartbreaking in some parts, but my character comes through that, and in a not, I hope, not a cheap way, but, you know, with hope, and he comes through intact, and I think it's always possible that the good is still yet to come, and that, you know, we don't pass a point in life, when God is in our lives, we don't pass a point where it's all downhill from there, that joy is always possible.
I love that. I loved this quote, too, and it's like, you know, reading that quote alone would inspire me to read the book. And it's totally love the idea of hope And, you know, we all know there's good times, there's bad times, there's times our heart will break and times that our heart will swell with joy, and that God is with us always through all of those times. And I look forward to reading the book. I really do. I know it's on its way to me. So I will definitely come back to the blog and let everybody know once I finish reading the book.
Thank you.
Then we do something here on the show that's called the Round Robin, in which we ask one question of both guests. And Boehm, I'm going to go ahead and start with you. Now, missionary work often means, you know, transcending cultural differences. But our core, at our core, we're all the same. We're people. How do missionaries make a real connection to the land and to the people and to the culture while still preserving what they are? How do you help people see that happen in your book?
Well, what I saw from reading about my grandparents and about these other missionaries, and you know, I'm looking forward to Lisa's answer to hearing it firsthand. But what I saw from secondhand from reading about it was an openness and a willingness on the part of these people who went there to fall in love with the people there and with the place and the culture. And instead of imposing what they brought with them, offering their faith as a gift and offering their time and their services. My grandmother was a nurse. And, you know, offering gifts instead of imposing things and, as I said, being willing. You know, they gave up their home. Missionaries give up their homes and go and make this new place their home. And I think that had, for the stories I read, that had a big part in establishing that connection.
Now, Lisa, I'm gonna come over to you. Same.
Okay. Well, I loved Bo's answer. I thought that was great because as we go and work among the people, you know, we're not going to change their culture. We're actually going to learn from them as well. And yes, we believe we have something to offer them, but I think they have a lot to offer us as well.
Now, what do you think? I mean, for you, you know, you have your whole family in Africa. You know, how are you teaching your family, your children? You know, here's this culture, which is very different from ours, and here's the culture that we were born with, and letting them see both those cultures and respect both those cultures while still holding on to that core, the core beliefs that you have for them.
You know, I think it's difficult in some ways because my children are definitely American and they love being here and they love the things that America offers. But I've also seen how living in another culture, they've grown. They see people that don't have as much as they do, and they learn that you can be happy without having a lot of things. So, I want to teach them that there is a world beyond their home world. There's other people who have different songs and different, you know, ways of looking at things, and we can learn from them.
Well, there's our 2-minute warning, which I knew was coming. I want to thank you, ladies, both of you, and you too, Anita, for joining us here on Readers Entertainment Radio, our new show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Sheila.
And I want to thank our listeners for joining. You can now find our Christian in Faith show at www.infaithnetwork.com. We'll have a follow-up blog, as we said, and we'll make sure that we get you all those links and some additional information, let you know where you can find these fantastic books, and we invite you to join us again next time. I'm Sheila English, your host, and thank you for joining us here on Readers Entertainment Radio's In Faith Network.